And does their site plan meet the code? If yes, then they get their building permit, they get their site plan approval. No, then they have to fix it. But that's all of the discretion that administrative decision has is does it meet the code, yes or no?
You're listening to the Art Cityscape. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Art Cityscape podcast. Today we have more information about development. Mayor Matt Packard and Community Development Director Josh Yost discuss zoning, the process for approving development, including involvement of the Planning Commission, and what the city does to notify residents about proposed and approved development. Before we get into that conversation, there are a couple of items of note. One is the Safe Halloween event, which will be on Halloween from 3 to 5 p.m. Bring your kids in costume to the fire station and follow the encouraged flow through Main Street. It will be lots of fun. We are looking for volunteers to help set up Christmas lights. With what we do on Main Street and here at the Civic Center Park with our new holiday festival, we could use some helping hands. You must be at least 16 years old to help. Please call 801-489-2770 and ask for Dave if you are interested in helping. Again, that number is 801-489-2770. Ask for Dave. Thanks. Let's get into the discussion.
Okay, we'd like to welcome you to our next podcast. We appreciate Josh Yost being here, who's the Director of Planning and Zoning and for the city. We appreciate him being here. Over the last couple months, we've noticed that there are things that might be well explained by Josh that would help a citizen be able to understand the process of how things actually take place for builders, for developers, and for people who are trying to change zones or how zones are approved. Maybe first of all, Josh, you can spend a few moments talking a little bit about zones, just refresh people's memory about why we have zones, the purpose for zones, and what we're trying to accomplish as a city with zones, and then maybe talk about how zones actually get created. Okay, and then maybe we'll get into Planning Commission and the City Council.
So. Sure. So zones, in a planning perspective, are essentially areas of the city that have specific designations applied to them with controls and regulations for land use, building size, setbacks, all of the physical parameters of development, building height, parking, all of those elements. And again, uses, what uses can occur in those buildings and on those sites. And zoning is often used as a tool to, or was originally used as a tool to separate uses that were really incompatible, such as a slaughterhouse and an apartment building. 150 years ago, you know, we had places in the country where we had uses mixed together that really were bad for the health of people in where they were living and where they were working. And the first zoning ordinances were really established to separate and protect non-compatible uses from each other. And it's evolved now to where zoning is really our primary tool for regulating land use and development across the board. Everything from, as I said, where a certain use goes to what the building it is in looks like. And we in Springville, we have a number of zones, from residential zones, commercial, retail zones, industrial zones that separate and group uses and provide for the development of the city in the way that the city council and the citizenry express that they'd like to see the city develop. So it is our implementation tool for making the vision of the city come to pass.
So from a citizen's standpoint, as he drives into different parts of the town, when he sees houses, sees apartments, sees a grocery store, sees a slaughterhouse, as you put it, those are all different zones, and they do that so that we can have protection, continuity, and kind of peaceful coexistence amongst each other, basically. So talk a little bit about how zones Are all zones in Springville set? And if so, can they be changed? And if so, how are they changed?
Absolutely. Zones are a creation of the city council through the legislative process. There was a time in Springville where we didn't have any zones. Most of Plat A was established, well, all of Plat A was platted and divided up and initially built long before we had any zoning or land use regulations in the city. There may have been some uses that would say something like you can't keep your cattle at your house or things like that, but they would be very minor. And we actually still have a bit of code on the book saying, governing what permissions you need or what ability you have to drive your cattle down the street. So it's been a long evolution in Springville, and the current state of zoning, the current law is just that. It's the current state of that evolution. And so it continues to evolve and can change, just as the city council has adopted over decades what we have today as our zoning code. They can adopt new zones. They can rescind zones, get rid of them, amend the regulations in the zones, change where the zone is applied. And those two things are really two elements to be particularly aware of, is that there are zones on the books in the ordinance that says this is the R110, the residential single family 10,000 square foot lot zone. And then there's a zoning map that says where that zone is actually applied on the ground. And so the council can amend zones like we talked about, or they can amend the zoning map to change what zone is applied to what piece of property in the city, and any combination of that. So the city council could leave our current zoning the way it is. They could rescind the whole thing and we could start from scratch, or any possibility in between. So that's what you see happen when there are changes to zoning on the ground, or adoption of new zones, or amendments to existing zones to change their standards and requirements.
So how does a zone get changed? Surely the city council has the legislative decision. They make the decision and it becomes official. But it doesn't just happen one night generally. How does the Planning Commission get involved? What power does the Planning Commission have? And how does a citizen use that process to change a zone that they want to change?
Absolutely. The process of changing zoning or amending the text of the zone, for clarity, we call one a zone map amendment and one an zoning ordinance or an ordinance text amendment. It really starts with an applicant making a request. That applicant could be the city deciding to make a change of our own accord. It could be a developer wanting to do something different than on a piece of property. It could be a resident not liking the way the fence code reads and wanting to make a change there. And it's important at this point to separate the two kinds of things that go through city approval processes. And the first is legislative things, which are law-making processes, like applying a zone to a piece of property, changing a zoning code, any of those things. The other one is administrative, which is approving an application that's applied for under the current code and determining whether it meets the code. That one is done through staff and Planning Commission. We basically say, hey, McDonald's came in, and does their site plan meet the code? If yes, then they get their building permit, they get their site plan approval. No, then they have to fix it. But that's all of the discretion that administrative decision has, is does it meet the code, yes or no? On the legislative side, if it's no,
they either have to amend their plan with the city, or they have to go through this legislative text change,
right,
to actually get their plans the city's plan code in line with what they're trying to accomplish.
Right.
And that's what you're just now going to describe.
Yes. So if somebody brought in a three-story building where we only permit two-story buildings, we'd say, hey, it's got to be two stories. And if they decided that they didn't want to change to comply with the current code, but they wanted to try to go through the process of changing the code, like you said, then they would come over to this legislative side, which is where we deal with actual lawmaking and law amendment.
Okay.
And the the state land use code, which is one of my favorite acronyms because it's just makes an interesting word. It's called LUDMA. Which is LUDMA, the Land Use Development and Management Act. LUDMA, that's what we could come up with. So this code establishes the Planning Commission. And in the code, it says the Planning Commission shall review and make a recommendation to the legislative body for, and then it lists a number of things. And one of those is land use regulations, including amendment to existing land use regulations and ordinances regarding the subdivision of land. So those are really the two parts of development, the land use code, the subdivision code. And so at that point, once somebody's brought in an application, like we said, the city or a resident, a developer, that application is reviewed by staff, and staff works together with administration and develops a staff position or a staff recommendation based on the guidance in the general plan. We look to the general plan and say, is this change to the code still get us what the general plan says we ought to be doing? Because our code, again, is always evolving and it's a work in progress. It's not it's not the Ten Commandments. It's not engraved on tablets of stone. So it evolves to help us continue to meet our goals. And so we make that comparison to say, is this proposed amendment in line with the city's policy vision? And then we take it to, and this is just the general process, we take it to the Planning Commission. And again, in the state code, it says, before making a recommendation to a legislative body, the city council, on an item described, as we described, such as a land use application, the Planning Commission shall hold a public hearing. And so that public hearing is really the opportunity or the formal opportunity for citizen, community members, anyone related to the process or interested in the process to come and express their feedback or their concerns, their support, their opposition to the proposal to the Planning Commission. And when it's a legislative item, it is, again, the lawmaking process. So the process really is responsive to the community, to the interests of the community. It's not like the administrative side where if it meets the code, we have to approve it, whether people are like it or not.
Right.
On the legislative side, whether people are like it or not is kind of a big part of the process. So an important thing to consider is how citizens are informed or aware of that opportunity they have to come in and comment to the Planning Commission. And the state requires us to meet some very minimal standards. And the general standard, if we're, say we're amending an ordinance, we're making some kind of change that affects a whole ordinance, we're not just changing the zoning on a piece of ground. If we're changing some element of our code, all we have to do is provide 10 days notice on the of the public hearing on the Utah State Public Notice website. And that website is one where all of the public bodies in the state have to post their agendas and their public hearing notices. And citizens can actually go onto that website and subscribe to a certain city, a certain body in a city, like the Planning Commission or the City Council. And then every time that body publishes an agenda or a public hearing notice, they'll get an email saying, here's what's coming up. So that's pretty much the low bar that the state requires us to clear in terms of noticing for legislative items of the Planning Commission, noticing that public hearing. Some of the additional steps we've taken over the past year or so are to post signs on property, especially on the zone map amendment side where we're changing the zoning on a piece of property specifically, because that has one additional set of noticing requirements, but it's really no more helpful to people. That additional notice requirement is that we have to inform the people whose property is being changed that we're going to take that action.
Which are the people that have applied anyway.
Right, which is the people that have applied, or like in the case of our highway commercial to freeway to regional commercial rezones last year, the city initiated a rezone across a large area of the city, and that's how we notify those property owners.
So from a citizen standpoint, we recognized from our experiences with citizens that the state requirement was not really sufficient or comfortable as far as we were concerned. Yeah. Because people tend to think that, okay, all this stuff is done in a dark, smoke-filled room in the back room, but it's not. We want people to be a part of the process. We're grateful for the people to be a part of the process. We want them to be part of the process. Whether they're very strongly for it or very strongly against it, we want to hear that sort of a thing. And I think I can add from the city side, some people say, well, you don't really care. All you care about is just getting something done. You've already made your mind up. The answer is no. We want to hear citizens' input, and it has had a very strong effect on lots of things that we have done. Some of the most disheartening part is that when we have these kinds of changes and we open up for public input, we don't get anybody there. And so we do the best that we can, and then we get accused of doing things in secret, which, you know, I think the city's stepping up its ability to notify people has been, at least in good faith, trying to get them involved in the process.
Absolutely. It comes down to the fact that as a professional planner, I have an ethical obligation to provide meaningful and equitable opportunities for people to give actual, real participation into land use and planning decisions that are made about their community. It's part of what I've committed to do as part of my code of ethics. So this process, having a public hearing before the Planning Commission after a staff recommendation has been made and applications been processed, isn't always the best way to provide that meaningful engagement, because once it's at that point, people feel like, oh, it's already on an agenda. I'm coming up. I'm just standing at the podium and giving my concerns. Is it really going to have an impact on the process? So that's why in bigger processes like the Main Street plan we're working on right now, or the general plan we're planning to get into soon, we really spend a lot of time up front designing and then implementing a public involvement process, because our planning only as good as the inputs it has, and public engagement and involvement and actually hearing from a broad swath of the community, not just the people that generally come to meetings, is super important in creating an outcome that is equitable and is a good outcome for people across our community.
And I would add to that is that some people say, well, I can't come. I can't come to the meeting. I can't go on that particular night for some reason. The city council, the planning commission is very open for public comment, and that gets put in the record. And it's an important part of the reply back to the citizens. The only thing that I would ask of a citizen is to be respectful. I mean, sometimes they say things that probably aren't very appropriate, but we want them to give input. We want them to share their thoughts and feelings in relationship to it. So it goes to the Planning Commission. What happens at the Planning Commission? A decision is made. And then where does it go from there?
Yeah. So if we're going back to a legislative item like a zone map amendment and an ordinance amendment, the Planning Commission hears the staff report and then typically hears from the applicant. And then the Planning Commission members will open the public hearing. And that's that formal opportunity for anyone to come and make a statement about the application, about the proposal. The Planning Commission sits in an interesting place in between staff, the applicant, and City Council, in that the Planning Commission it's not a representative body. It's an appointed body. The mayor appoints the Planning Commission with the consent of the City Council. And they don't have constituents. They don't meet with people outside of the meetings and go out and kind of meet with the community and do the things that an elected official does. So part of that role, they really look at the application, look at the amendments, the changes from a perspective of what is best representative or what best achieves the goals that we've established as a city in our general plan, our kind of overall development policy. and what is best practice in terms of good outcomes for planning. And so they balance the input from the community with the staff recommendation, which contains an analysis of, from a professional standpoint, of the land use and the general plan, all those elements. And they make a recommendation that considers all of those inputs, and the public comment is one of those inputs. So sometimes people may feel that the public comment was overwhelmingly negative or overwhelmingly positive, and it doesn't seem like the Planning Commission responds completely to that. And that's because the Planning Commission has a whole additional set of considerations that they evaluate when they're making those decisions.
So once a decision's made, it moves to the City Council. Does the City Council also have an opportunity for public comment in relationship to those?
Correct. Again, going back to the state code, the words it uses are, the Planning Commission shall review and make a recommendation to the legislative body. So the Planning Commission is not making a final decision, and they're not adopting or denying. They're merely, well, not merely, but they are importantly making a recommendation, an informed recommendation from their perspective as an appointed board to the City Council. The City Council, as the legislatives, the lawmakers in the city, actually takes the action to change the law in accordance with the application or not. And the City Council, while there is not in our state LUDMA a requirement for the City Council to conduct a public hearing, the City Council has the opportunity at the discretion of the mayor or the chair of the meeting to take public comment about whatever agenda item is before them, including these legislative items that come from Planning Commission. So there's not a statutory requirement there, but there's definitely the opportunity. And in my experience under two mayors now, there has always been a very generous willingness to open the floor, to take comment, to give people an opportunity to talk, and give them time to voice their concerns and share their thoughts. Yeah. So I've never been in a situation where the City Council has stifled or chosen not to hear from their constituents when they've come with a desire to do that in a City Council meeting.
Well, I appreciate that. And you know, our experience has been on the city is that we want to hear from people's input. It's a very, very important part of the component. And you know, when we think about our elected officials, sometimes we don't think our opinions ever get heard, or they're important, or they don't have time for it. But I can tell you, on the city level, we really value those opinions, and we want to hear from citizens. Well, this has been very helpful. This has hopefully been good for the citizens to be able to understand the process. I'm sure they can get in touch with you.
Always.
If they have additional questions. Do you have contact information, a phone number, and maybe an email?
Yeah, the best way to reach out to me is by email at jyost, J-Y-O-S-T, at springville.org.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. The number one way to grow podcast audiences is word of mouth. So next time you're hanging out with friends and telling them where Springville gets its water or electricity from, you can tell them that you learned it on the Art Cityscape podcast, and they should definitely check it out. A big thanks to Mayor Matt Packard and Josh Yost for today's discussion. We'll be back in your feed soon. Have an excellent day.